To be about wrestling with God. Now, you can either use wrestling or you can use wrestling, whichever term you want to use. But I find that in my life, God does not give me any information or any words unless I live through them. Okay? And living through wrestling with God is really, it's a futile experience on my part because the Lord is always right. Okay? But we all find ourselves, when things get tough, we find ourselves when God speaks, He'll, you know, say something, and we'll say, "Not so, Lord." Okay, well, that's kind of a pushing back. Lord, I'm not going to go in that direction. I can't do that. I can't get up here and talk about you, Lord, because I'm undone. I'm an undone person. And then He says, "It's not you, it's me." Okay, so then sometimes I rest in that comfort, and sometimes I don't. So today, to springboard into this message, we are, as you know, in the book of Genesis. And I want to go through one of the sections of Genesis here that really points out the struggles that the patriarchs had too. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings, obviously, and we have a nation being formed, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, Jacob is, when he was born, he was called supplanter, he was called heel catcher. In other words, he wasn't in very good light with the family, so to speak. So Jacob ended up with Esau's birthright. Okay, Esau gave up his birthright. I'm kind of fast-forwarding here to give you the Cliff Notes version because I want to get into chapter 32, which is an odd chapter, to be honest with you. And so anyway, Jacob ends up stealing Isaac's birthright. And he left, and he went to live with Laban. So 20 years has passed now where Jacob has gotten Rachel, he has Leah, he has 11 kids, 11 sons, he's got wealth, he's got donkeys, he's got everything going for him, okay? And when he left home initially, he went into the desert and he fell asleep. Basically, he put down a rock and he used it for his pillow and he fell asleep. And the Lord spoke to him that night and said, "I'm going to make a great nation of you." God had already set that promise in place, just like the promise He sets in place for us. And Jacob says, "Okay, God, if this is your will, I'm on board, totally on board." Fast forward 20 years later, okay? Now, Laban and Jacob now are beginning to part companies. They're beginning to part ways. And there's some interesting dialogue there, narrative that you can read that's really interesting as far as they did not part on good terms, okay? But Jacob was afraid of Esau. Deathly afraid of Esau. He had the wealth. Jacob had all the wealth. He had everything going for him. Okay, so I want to pick it up in chapter 32. But before we get into that deal, I want to give a little side note here. There's a story which many of you may have already heard. There's a gentleman hiking in the Colorado Mountains, and it got to be dusk, and he's trying to get back to the camp. And he was lost. It was dark, and he ended up falling down this cliff. Head over heels, rocks, dirt, everything flying all over, and he's scared. He's going to die. He's going down the side of this mountain, and he doesn't know where it ends. He finally grabs a hold of a branch on the side of the mountain, and he's hanging on for dear life. Okay, and it's dark now, and he can't hear it, and he's hollering, "Help, help, help." And the voice out of heaven goes, "Let go." "Anyone else up there?" "No, let go." Well, he didn't let go. All night long, he was there praying, "God, please get me out of here. Get me out of this. Get me out of this, Lord, because I can't handle this. This is way too much for me." And he's hanging onto that branch for dear life. So the sun starts to come up. The dawn breaks, right? And the voice goes, "Let go." And he goes, "Okay, Lord, I guess I got to let go." And he let go, and he was only 6 inches from the pavement. All night long, God was speaking to him, and he didn't let go. He was pushing back against what God had said to do. And Jacob, we find, is doing the same thing here. So picking it up in chapter 32, I want to kind of read through this with you, but we're going to focus our teaching here with basically on the wrestling with God. Why did Jacob wrestle with God? What was going on with that? Okay. So chapter 32, verse 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host, and he called the name of that place Manhem. So, and Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother into the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak to my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in his sight, in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men. Look out. Okay. All of a sudden, Esau's birthright being stolen, when that happened, Esau committed to killing Jacob. He said, I'm going to kill him. And so now, here we go. We got the culmination of all of those 20 years of thinking about all of the things that could happen. Now Jacob's cornered, okay? His brother's coming with 400 men, and Jacob is extremely afraid at this point. Verse 7, and Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed and divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands and said, if Esau comes to one company and smite it, then the other company shall escape. And Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all your mercies, of all the truth which you have showed unto your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I have come into two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother of with the children. And you said, I will surely do good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 goats, ewes, rams, and cows, verse 16. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, unto the servants. Pass over before me, and put a space between the droves. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meets thee, ask thee, saying, whose art thou? Where are you going? And whose are these before thee? And thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and third that followed the drove, saying in the manner. Verse 20, and say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see peradventure he will accept me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the river Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks, and I will not let thee go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men hast thou prevailed. And Jacob asked him, said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he says, why do you ask after thy name? And he blessed him there. So that being the springboard, what's happened with Jacob now, he's got all hope is lost. He's scared. He's got Esau with 400 guys coming at him. When we go through trials, I have 400 people coming. We do. We all have a spiritual warfare that we fight on a daily basis. And we fight against, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and you know, everything that we get slaughtered with, finances, health, relationships, jobs, all of that. We constantly go through these battles. And God has told us, I will bring you through those battles. He told Jacob, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And yet Jacob had a problem. Jacob believed God, but then he didn't believe God. He pushed against God. He's wrestling with God. We wrestle with him all the time. Surely, Lord, you haven't said that I should do this, okay? And guess what? God is speaking. He speaks to all of us in that same way, okay? So Jacob, all hope is lost. He's got the wealth. He's got everything going for him, but now he's got this one little thing, his brother, this issue with his brother that he's worried about. He's got all these things that God had already promised him he's going to get them. God has promised us eternal life with Jesus Christ. He promised us through the blood of Jesus that you will be in heaven with me. You will be rejoicing with the saints. You will be seated at a table that is meant for you, that is made for you. You will be served by God Almighty. He's already promised us that. But yet, when we go through our daily lives, we are Jacob. Okay, we're pushing against God. God says, David, I don't want you to go there. David goes anyway. Okay, then I suffer the consequences. So it ends up sometimes that when the Lord's speaking to us, we are like Peter, not so, Lord. Not me. You're not going to make me do that. Yes, you're going to do that. Okay. But then how is it going to end up? How am I going to end up with my job, my health, my finances, my family, my life? How is all that going to end up? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, David. I've got you in my hand. And I can't tell you how many times and how many struggles that I've gone through in our lives. Okay. Time and time again where I pushed back against the Lord. I remember years ago, I was driving up the 57 freeway in California. I had a suit and tie on. I was in sales, and I was making calls, and I was whining and crying and belly aching to the Lord, you know. Miserable people, right? And I shot past this family, these three ladies, African-American ladies, outside their car with a flat tire, and they had like a 69 or a 50 Pontiac. You remember the trunks that were like, you know, the size of a Honda? Okay. And so I shot past them, and this voice goes, turn around and go back, change their tire. Nope. David, turn around and go back and change the tire. No, I'm not going to do that, Lord. Forget it. I kept running on, I'm speeding up the 57 freeway. That voice hit me again, said, go back and change their tire. Lord, I've got a suit on. Go back. So I got off the freeway. And of course, then I got to go back and I got to pass them going down the other way because I got to go past them and come back on another on-ramp. And I came back on that other on-ramp and I pulled up behind them and they had the jack out. They had no idea what the jack was doing. They had it upside down, right? They had no idea. And the tire was just as flat as a doornail. I mean, just like gone. And they had this big, the tire was as big as I was on that car. Anyway, rolled up my sleeves, got out, and I am not kidding you. God blessed me so much from that. We had a church service on the side of that road. Those were three godly women that we praised God. We sang, I was so lifted up. You have no idea. So when God speaks, listen, because he's got a blessing for you. When Jacob fought with God, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Okay? And Jacob was blessed. And God touched the hollow of his thigh. And I often thought about that. Wow, man. What a blessing that is, Lord. You didn't make me cripple. What's that all about? Okay. But it was proof that God was in control. It was proof that the Lord Jesus was in control of Jacob's life. And he wanted Jacob, every time Jacob limped on that, every time Jacob hurt, he remembered the Lord's promise. And after that, he met with his brother Esau. See, the Lord had it all planned from the beginning. He's got your life, my life, planned from the beginning. And I don't sometimes understand where I'm going or what's going to happen. I really don't. But guess what? I know who does. Okay? He does understand, and he knows where we're going. So he opens those doors for me. He closes the doors for me. And sometimes when he closes the doors, it's like, okay, what do I do from here? Where do I go from here? And I can tell you that in the times of desperation, we sing the song, you know, in times of desperation, Jacob was desperate. He's calling out. He made God aware. He didn't make him. God already knew. But he recognized. He went back and he reviewed the blessings of his life, what God had done for him. He went back and praised God. Lord, you said you were going to do this for me. I'm trusting in you. And that's sometimes difficult to do for all of us. So you say, the job that I had when I was in California, they wanted me out because I was 50 years old at the time. And the president of the company that I was with that time, he said, he needs to be out of here. Okay, all of my performance reviews were fantastic, stellar, yada, yada, yada. And they said, well, he's 50 years old, so you're gone. And I struggled with that. And my wife, too, she'll tell you. I mean, we were there. We had, you know, house payments. We had kid payments. We had everything going for us. And then all of a sudden, that door slammed shut. And I'm not kidding you. It slammed shut. And it scared me to death. And scared her to death. Because all of a sudden, they said, the VPs that wouldn't terminate me because of my age, they were let go. The national sales manager that wouldn't terminate me because of my age was reprimanded and demoted. Okay, they said, we're not going to let him go because God was kind of protecting me during that time. And then it came down to the point where the president of the company said, we're going to chop his income in half. Well, we were operating on a shoestring to begin with. So cutting my income in half was a real major move. I was afraid. I was very, very scared. And so was Jacob with Esau coming after him, 400 men. So we were surrounded with this turmoil, surrounded with this doubt, surrounded with this concern. Lord, what's going on? What are we doing here? And then this job that I have now opened up. My wife and I and our daughter always wanted to move to Colorado, but we never had the resources to do that. When this job opened up, the Lord opened the door. The company said, here's what we'll do. We're living in California now. Here's what we're going to do. We will move you. You don't have to pay anything. If you want to move to Colorado, we have a position for you. Here I am. Here's Jacob. The same story. I push back. Lord, I don't want that. It's not me. I can't do this. Okay? So with Jacob's life, our life is a mirror of this. Many, many cases in that when we're faced with those insurmountable trials and things that are going in our lives, remember what he had told you. Remember what he said. I have you in the palm of my hand. You are my child. Praise him for everything that you can possibly praise him for, because he gives us the eyes. He gives us the ears. He gives us the food on our table. He gives us the light that we, the sunlight, the snow, all of that belongs to him. And because he loves us, he blesses us with these things that rejoices our hearts. So when we see those trials coming and the enemy attacks us, it's time to stop and say, praise you, Lord. I praise you. And again, I don't get up here and talk to you about things that I have not lived or gone through. Okay? Well, I didn't fall off the mountain. But but going through, I remember going through some trials when we were in California, some real deep stuff. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me, I'm driving on this road, and this road is nice and smooth, and I'm thinking, this road could be a dirt road with potholes and everything else, but Lord, thank you for putting this road here for me. Look at him in the smaller things, okay? God is, and he is infinite. He is beyond our human comprehension. I totally get why the Lord Jesus had to come down and be the actual visible God, okay? I totally get it, because we can't stand in his presence. If we saw him for who he was, we would be on our face like Daniel, like Isaiah, like all of the prophets that saw the Lord. They were dumbfounded, okay? Lord, I am a man, Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. He was one of the biggest prophets in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of prophecies that in Isaiah that reflect Yeshua, the Lord Jesus coming, okay? And when he was standing before the Lord in the presence, he says, I am a man of unclean lips, okay? And there's other descriptive narratives in there that really says, you know, basically, he lost control of his body in a sense of he couldn't, I mean, his knees were cracking together, okay? Standing in the presence of a holy God. And then he controls all of that. And when I'm going through these trials, I have to remember who he is. And I don't always do that. I'm not very good at that. Okay, my wife will be able to tell you, you're always whining. Yeah, I am. Okay? But you see, maybe that's a good thing, because, you know, when you have a child that's whining all the time, you're always paying attention to him, so that's why I whine. God pays attention to me. Okay? So, wrestling with the Lord. We all wrestle with the Lord, and Jacob is a prime example of that. In Timothy, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and good for edification, exhortation, and building us up. All Scripture. And there's some things in God's Word that really stand out as odd. And I think that Jacob wrestling with the Lord, okay, was one of those areas when I think, Wanza, where are you at? Yeah, there's you. Anyway, we met here in Safeway, and we were talking about why Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Well, I don't know. Of course I do. Because that's what we do. That's us in our walk with the Lord. We wrestle with him all the time. Lord, surely you haven't meant me to go here and talk to this person about you. And sometimes you're going to get shut down. Straight up. We have a guy, a contractor, coming in, doing our patio. And I started to talk to him about the Lord. He goes, look, okay, let's leave that alone. Don't want to hear it. Okay? I had a girlfriend whose dad was a pastor, blah, blah, blah. I experienced that same pushback, that same fight with the Lord years ago. A guy named George LaGreco that I worked with many years ago, he's an ex-Marine, the biggest, clumsiest guy I ever met in my life. Loved the Lord, came in a jean jacket on, had all these Jesus stickers on his jacket. I went, get out of here. Bottom line is, he and I used to talk about the Lord all the time. And I said, George, I know more about the Bible. I forgot more about the Bible than you'll ever know. And he goes, there's one thing you don't know. I said, what's that? God knows your heart better than you do. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you just the way you are. Well, guess what? I took a step back. And I didn't talk about it anymore. And men in California, I don't know if you guys were, well, you're all, you know, younger than I am. But there was a big push. I mean, the Holy Spirit was being poured out. You know, Calvary chapels were popping up all over the place. And invariably, I'd get behind in traffic jam, and I'd get behind these stupid Christians with these give Jesus a chance on their, saying the answers are in the Bible. The Lord loves you. And I'm going, ah, okay. God used those small little things to touch my heart. And he did in a mighty way many, many years ago. He used those small things with Jacob. He gave Jacob all these. He blessed Jacob. And Jacob should have known, just like we should know. Jacob should have known that God had planned this. He said this is what it's going to be. But he had a lapse of faith apparently too, because he's scared. In this section here, when he talks about he was greatly afraid, in the Hebrew, he was scared to death. Okay, he didn't know what to do. I mean, it doesn't say he had any warriors. It didn't say Jacob had 400 men. It said he had wives and kids and, you know, 11 sons. So he did have men servants or whatever, but it doesn't say they were prepared for war. So Jacob was kind of in a box. He was in a corner. What do I do, Lord? Okay, so he reminded God, Lord, this is what you said. So now I'm trusting in you. But then he sends them all over the other side of the book, and he's sitting on the other side of the river there by himself. Right? And God goes, that ain't going to happen. So next thing you know, they start this wrestling match. And I don't know about you, but I would not want to wrestle with the Lord, at least physically. Okay? Spiritually, I wrestle with him all along. So how do we process all of this? Because we know it's an ongoing process. It's not something that we can snap our fingers and God's going to answer. It does happen sometimes, I'll admit. But most of the time, it does not. Most of the time, it is a process. And if you look at, there was 20 years had passed. And when we read the Bible, we see about Abraham, God speaking to Abraham, making appearance before Abraham. And then 20 years later, we see God coming back. And then same way with Isaac, we see God speaking to Isaac. And then 20 years later, I mean, there's a time frame that we expect God to react in, because we are time constrained, if you would. Meaning that when I pray, I expect the Lord to answer immediately. No. God is, the Bible says, a day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like unto a day unto the Lord. What does that really mean? Does that mean one day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is one day to the Lord? What that really means is God is outside this time zone, outside the time dimension that we have this millstone around our neck called the time, okay? Every hour clicks off, every second clicks off, okay? We are getting older. I don't know about you guys, but I look in the mirror and go, who in the world is that? You know? But we are constrained. We are in this time warp, if you would. The Lord is outside of that. He sees the beginning from the end. And he knows. And he said, when he speaks, you can count on every word, every jot, every tittle is from God Almighty. And he means it. That doesn't mean it. He says, I can swear it by no other name than my name. In other words, when he speaks, he speaks. And when we get in Jacob's condition, situation with trials, faced with the enemy, faced with things that we can't, that are surmountable, we can't go around them, we can't go above them, we humble ourselves before the Lord. Lord, thank you. If this is your will, then so be it. I am your child. I want you to do your will to be done. And every single time, it's always for the best. The Bible says all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord. So my bad finances, poor finances work together? Yep. My health? Yep. My job? Yep. My marriage? Yep. All of those things that we are concerned about on a daily basis, the enemy, the war coming after me. I mean, if you read, I'm gonna take a sabbatical from reading the news just for 1 week. I'm not going to read the news anymore because every time I read the news, I get upset, I get anxious, I get fearful, I get all of these things going on, and I'm going, oh, Lord. And then I start looking at my little pennies that I have in my savings account going, okay, how am I going to make this last, all right? It's not mine. It is not mine. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. That's His stuff. And Ruth and I were sitting there the other day, and she was reading something, and God had, in the Bible, and said, and we were just sitting there talking, and He said, I'm going to bring you into a place of beauty, a place, you know, where you're, a spacious place. I'm not going to. We went from California to a 7,000 square foot lot with a 3,000 square foot home on it. The fence between the fence and the house was 5 foot. Between the neighbor's house and the fence was 5 foot. You could hear him flush the toilet. Okay, that's how bad, how close we were. You could hear that. And you know, you could hear them when they played their music, when they were having their parties or whatever, and it was very annoying. And we both sat there and looked out the window of our place, and some of you have been, I mean, Andre's been in our place, but we both looked out the window and read that scripture, and I kid you not, it almost brought tears to my eyes because God is faithful. He's the one that brought us through that. He's the one that brought Jacob through that. Yes, he wrestled with Jacob. Jacob was pushing back. I'm pushing back. I always push back. Paul talks about the war inside of us. There's two natures within us, okay? The war against the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. So we have this battle going on. But rest assured, the Lord's got it under control. So I don't worry about what I'm thinking. Well, I do worry about it anyway. But I rest, and I try to rest in Him, and I praise Him for the little things. You praise Him for the little things, I promise you, you will not go back. You will be rewarded beyond your wildest imagination with His presence. Because all of a sudden, it's like heaven opens up. And you begin to see things. We have birds. I mean, just something as simple as birds. I mean, think about that. I mean, how many people just really stop and pay attention to the birds? But when you tie that with the scripture, it said, not a sparrow falls to the ground that the Lord doesn't see. So we have these little nests, these little babies. My wife, she climbs up the ladder and looks at, oh, look how cute they are. God created those, and I'm kind of being selfish here, just for us, just to bless us. He is beyond our comprehension, and He came down, and He bought us. He bought us with a great price. Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So when you're in doubt, when you're faced with those things, go back to the basics, for God so loved you. And that word love is not the love that we know or as humans. It's agape. Agape means unconditional, no strings attached, no expectations. He loves you just the way you are, warts and all. And that, so in closing, I want to flip over to Jeremiah 29:11. Kind of a short message here, folks, sorry. But get everybody out to lunch quickly. Jeremiah 29:11. This is a famous scripture that a lot of people know. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. I'm not one that gets into the different translations of the Bible, but the NIV had the best word for verse 11. said, "For I know the thoughts that I think you toward you, saith," that word saith, I don't know if you guys have that in your Bible or not, saith. Okay, that word is declares. Declares is meaning it's the epitome, it's a powerful statement. The angels declared the glory of God. Okay, when they declare the glory of God, that goes beyond "I said this, I said that, thus saith this, thus saith that." No, declares is way up there. In other words, that is a solid foundation. So God is declaring, okay, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, declares the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me and shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart." Folks, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you're here or if you're listening, I implore you, please, please, ask the Lord to open your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, anything, Lord, speak to my heart, okay? You said you gave your only begotten Son for me. Lord, touch my heart, anoint me, okay? And when you're in that quiet place, like Jacob was, on the other side of the brook, there's the Lord standing there when he was alone. And of course, he's wrestling with God. "No, I'm not going over there. That's Esau. You're supposed to kill Esau." Anyway, he wasn't saying that, but he was scared. Okay? And the Lord took his mind off of that fear when he began the wrestling match, I could tell you that. But point being is that when we are in that same situation, faced with those enormous odds against us, God's got it under control. He gave his only begotten Son for you and me, that I might live in him. And I don't live very well with him because I'm always pushing back and we're always wrestling. But you know what's nice about the wrestling part? If he didn't care, he wouldn't be wrestling with me. If he didn't care, he wouldn't be convicting you. If he didn't care, he wouldn't touch you. But he does. And that's where we need to be. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray that you search our hearts, Lord, and you know what's inside. You know our weaknesses, Lord. You know our strengths. Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit to anoint everyone within the sound of my voice, Father, with a special, overwhelming, double portion of your Holy Spirit, Father, because it's only in you, Lord, that we have our being, that we live and we breathe. So, Lord, bless, I pray, your children. Be a hedge of protection about us, Lord, this week, and open our eyes to see your glorious creation, your beauty, your majesty, and your great and exceeding love. In the precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, each one of us has been through trials, is going through a trial, or will be going through a trial. And it's like, where is your faith? What are you putting?